The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Crunch is brought to you by Alive ML Foods Limited, Bahamas Welding and Fire, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Freeport News, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Popeyes, Bronze Electric Motors, and Scotiabank.
Foundation. It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, got in radio station 96.9, 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. It's the foundation. Foundation. So it's the foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this glorious, talk to me, it's a beautiful day. Won't you be mine? It's a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company on this beautiful Wednesday, a panel discussion Wednesday. I'm so grateful for the opportunity for you to kind of dial in, tune in. If you're out there, you just jumped in your car, you're doing all manner of things, I want to be able to talk to you guys. It is coming up on the end of the month, and I know you got to insure your car, so make sure you go down there to my good friends over at Ethric Bow, AFS Insurance and Brokers on Blue Hill Road South, 407 Blue Hill Road South. They can be able to assist you, 341 AFS. They'd be more than happy to assist you with that. Also, you want to be able to... I wanted to talk to you about something. We touched on it yesterday, but I want to kind of do it again today. It should have been set up a little bit better for this, but I want to tell you about Own Talks. I told you that I'm going to Own Talks tomorrow night. We are one day away. Where Mr. Wonderful, if you watch Shark Tank, you know that he always, Kevin O'Leary, he always has some insight, some understanding. He has a great deal of experience as it relates to business. And, you know, a no-nonsense approach and how he deals with what needs to happen in business. He cuts all the fluff and gets to the real stuff. So I'm excited about being able to be a part of that tomorrow. We're going to be able to see him. And he's going to be there. So go down to the Bahamas. Now, a lot of persons call me and say, Howard, you got to pay for this. This is absolutely free. Make sure you... You can look on my social media pages and see the scan code. Scan the code. You'll be able to get your free tickets. It's going to be at Bahama tomorrow evening. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit more tomorrow as we get there. And also tomorrow, we're going to be able to have the snackathon. We told you that we're going to be able to do that. It's going to be over there at Harbor Bay. Is that what Dwight said? Harbor Bay? Harbor Bay. All the shows are going to be from Harbor Bay tomorrow as we talk about the snackathon. It's going to be exciting. Tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. So I'm excited to talk about that and kind of get into that with you guys to see exactly what we're going to be doing there. This is always exciting, man. Always exciting to be able to talk about. The papers has one social issue running after another on a day-to-day basis. It is absolutely exhausting. And someone needs to have a very clear conversation with the morality and integrity of our community, not just the perpetrators. Because this is an external influence that persons grab onto. It exists. They grab onto. They grab onto these particular things. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Pick up your Guardian newspaper. You can see exactly what's what. Man attempts to abduct toddler. 50-year-old in custody after trying to take 2-year-old. This is what the police say. A 50-year-old man was arrested after attempting to abduct a 2-year-old girl from her mother in a supermarket in West New Providence yesterday. This is what the police said. It's reported that the mother and her child, who were sitting in the shopping cart, were approached by a man shopping before 9 a.m. Police said that the man attempted to push the cart away from the woman and remove the child. However, the mother was able to hold onto the daughter and called the store's security personnel for help. The man was detained and taken into custody. Law enforcement officials, including members from the Department of Social Services, have warned residents to be vigilant amid the uptick in crimes against minors, particularly sex crimes. My little children love the cart. This is crazy how y'all got me up in arms about how I can carry my children to the store. I gotta rest my butt on the thing now. Come, it's too much, man. I gotta carry the, yeah, there's only a pool stick and then I rest the whole, it's just too much, man. What is going on in this Bahama land? Man, I won't talk about it. I think one issue spills into another as we continue to be able to find our, we have to find a true north. We have to find and strip away of the superficiality, the carnality, and understand that there is a gem under it all. There is a gem. No matter your brokenness, no matter your tribulation, there is a gem under it all. And one of the things that I'd like to kind of put to the forefront, even as we start this conversation for today, the necessity for you to be able to strip away the idea that snitching or snitches is stitches. We got to be able to fix this. The community that we know always give us warning about the character and caliber of people that we engage. You remember that? Come on, man. We sing about it and laugh about it because you put it in a sexual connotation or a sexual construct. You say things like, I almost married a garland, right? Grammy say don't marry the garland, and so forth. And we'd sing about these particular things. But Grammy knew these people, not just their external appearance. She knew their father's father and the indecency that spilled out through the generation. She always gave us one. Now, watch out for them browns. Watch out for the blacks. Watch out for them set around the corner there. Them set up. She always gave us warning. You've modified that in our society and said, snitches get stitches. Until you bring your indecent daughter around me or your son. It's too much. We have to figure out a way to speak to each other and give that fair warning about how to look out for things. It's a million people in a supermarket at any given time. This should never happen. They say before 9 a.m., you know people is being there. Guys, I want to be able to talk like this today. I'm excited, man. Last week, Wednesday, we had a great conversation. Last week, Wednesday, as you know, I wasn't here in studio. I was off island, out of the country, and being able to do a few things. Now, I had a show, and I had a guest call in. And, man, this is such a powerful conversation. I don't know why. I mean, I do always have these great, great you guys are very good, all of you. I want to be able to say that every single one of you who contribute to the conversation and contribute to the show, participate in it, you are absolutely amazing. And last week, Wednesday, I heard a voice that I haven't heard before, not on this show. A voice that spoke with sort of a calm and a poise and articulated, expanded on the specifics as to the issues that we're dealing with and wrestling with in our country. I thought it was an excellent contribution. I got his number and I called him right after the show. If you're listening to the show, you're an avid listener, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And I got his number, called him right after the show while I was across the street. And he and I had a very good conversation. I think it was about an hour or so, maybe a little bit more. And we really talked about what needs to happen, the perception of how things happen, the projection of how politicians and those in leadership continue to be able to, move with smoke and mirrors. I asked him to come on the show with us today. He couldn't make it in studio, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that he's calling in with us and having his conversation with us today. He is a lawyer by profession. He is a nationalist by heart, by application, by articulation. You probably read a few of his articles, his comments. And if you're an avid listener to talk radio throughout the length and breadth of the country, you probably know it. He stands strong in his capacity to be able to speak to immigration issues and a great deal more. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to none other than Nico Moscow, lawyer. My brother, good afternoon with you. How you doing?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man.
How was your trip to Morocco?
Morocco? No, I didn't go to Morocco yet. I didn't go to Morocco. How are things with you, man?
How are you? Doing okay, thank you. And thank you so much for having me this afternoon. And hello to everybody where you are listening.
Absolutely. Say good afternoon to the Bahimi people. Let them know who you are, what you've done over the years, and where they would possibly know you from.
I'm an attorney by trade. I'm the son of Terry and Val, the late Val DeMosco. I have two brothers. I'm former national soccer coach, center of excellence coach, and soccer coach for a number of clubs around the country. I've been doing it for a long time. I'm retired, unfortunately, from that. As your body gets a little bit older, you can't do what you need to do to assist in teaching. So other than that, I've been practicing. I think this year will be 28 years. And I am a commercial specialist as well as land, immigration, property, landlord-tenant, contract, and a number of disciplines, labor law, and that sort of thing. So that's me in a nutshell. And I'm a father of three grown children, 26, 24, and 20.
Yeah. You ain't like me. I start all over again. It's too much, right?
That's okay. I mean, you're a braver man than me.
It's too much. But, you know, like I said in the opening remarks, I thought your comments last week were amazing. It was point on.
Thank you for your kind statement.
Yeah, it was point on. It was leveled. And you spoke truth to power without this kind of affair of the contradiction of persons being able to come after you. Is that as a result of you being fed up with the stagnation in our system? Talk to me about that.
Well, there's a number of variables that are involved with it. And how one engages in dialogue with individuals, be it through this medium or in actual conversation, one has to approach it in a certain fashion. And if one is, banging, a hammer over your head or things like that and trying to impose your will, it's not gonna go over well. And at the same time, everyone has an opinion. Each one of us are designed differently, and we're unique in our own construction. And that goes the same way for one's opinion and one's perception of the context of the dialogue. So at the end of the day, one has to be able to convey one's personal and perceived sentiment or understanding and put that to that individual rather than ramming it down one's throat, the colloquial, if you will, banging you over the head, or speaking in such a manner that one knows everything, which is virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm. But so, hasn't that been the precedent that's been set socially, that there is a connotation that actually speaks to the fact that you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar? But
yes.
it speaks to two things, either the honey or the vinegar. For a long time, a lot of persons present this vinegar and a honey vase.
Absolutely, and thank you for bringing that up. And it's not, and we have to be very, very careful with that, you know, that particular statement, in the sense that, you know, imposing your will is one thing, and then putting so, you know, giving so much honey to maybe persuade that individual, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And it's the quantity in which one utilizes that particular analogy. So yet one has to be really, really careful how one goes about putting one's, you know, understanding or opinion, whatever you want to categorize.
Especially socially, in a culture that is inundated with perception. They perceive you to be one thing, or they expect you to be another thing. You got to know how to be able to navigate those waters.
Well, absolutely. The perception, as we, you know, stated earlier, perception is what it is. This is how we live.
Yeah.
And so you are perceiving or understanding something, and they're interchangeable, and also, you know, glued at the hip, if you will. The individual has to be cognizant when doing something. And if one is doing something in a manner where the perception of each unique individual is similar, it'll never be the same, is similar, then generally it could be argued that that perceived state is fairly accurate of what has been presented. That's my humble opinion.
Now, I want to pull it into our environment.
Let me just interject, because that's a major starting point.
Okay.
Now, society has changed a great deal over time. I'm in my mid-50s, and I've seen what the Bahamas used to be, not like the 7-year-olds, 60-year-olds, and the 80, 90-year-olds, but I have seen a drastic change in our country from a little boy. Now, what I have noticed in the many, many years is that we have become a me-centric society. And I'm going to use a very simple, not evidence, but something that is so simple to everybody. Many, many years ago, if you were trying to get out of a corner in your car driving, a car would stop and let you out. It was just a matter of courtesy. It was a matter of being a good person.
It's hilarious.
You know,
it's hilarious that you started here, because, as you know, I'm not from Nassau originally, and I had to learn this guerrilla warfare on the road.
It's trench warfare, man.
I had to learn this.
You know, I mean, we can laugh about it, but it's quite serious in the sense that our society has changed to this me-centric. So I was pulling out of the gas station, Saunders Beach, and I counted. I stopped counting at 40.
That is wild. 40 cars didn't let you out?
Totally. Now, I can't say all 40 people knew me. So I said, man, that's 40 people that maybe don't like me. But that's not the case. It was a matter of getting to where you're going, and on your cell phone, even though it's illegal. And they ain't, no one's, you know, they're not, we're not checking for each other, you know, as neighbors, brothers, nothing. We're not doing it. So it's a me-centric society. And something so simple as things like that. I'm not saying it applies to everybody. But even going to the food store and you're looking at something, and then somebody walks right in front of you and starts flipping, and you're going, what's going on? So things have changed drastically. And so that's why my interjection before you started with that particular question. This is a very different environment than it was 40 years ago, or even more. And it's virtually, I'm not an anthropologist or a psychologist or anything like that, even though I have a minor in anthropology, it's a survival of the fittest, virtually, at this point in time. I mean, it's not virtually is a strong word, but we're getting to that point, and no one else matters. So this me-centric society is what it is. Now, how we're going to change it, who knows?
Now, you know, this me-centricity that we talk about is wrapped in a colloquial term that some years ago has been coined by, oh, my God, y'all don't kill me. I forget his, oh, Jesus, it slips my memory.
Don't worry, memory is something that fades over time.
All for me, baby. This kind of all for me, baby concept about being able to grab everything. But this is only introduced after 73. I mean, you could tell me better than I can. You know, the observation is said, and based upon what I've read and listening to the conversation, after 1973, when we have just been able to grab hold of the independence and change our concept and had black rule at the forefront, the community shifted significantly. It has become a pursuit, an all-out war in pursuit of something, some tangible thing for yourself. Talk to me about that. Do you believe that? Do you see the same thing as I, as it relates to that?
Well, it has changed. I have stated that it has changed. And when one looks at these societal conditions and everything else, back then, now I was just a little boy back then. So, you know, playing outside and all that was the order of the day. But when you get a little bit older and you're in the 70s, 80s and that sort of thing, it's different. Now, it's different for the simple reason is that we were exposed to a whole lot more. We have outside influences.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when MTV came on and they were showing, you know, it was a big thing, you know, the rock and roll bands, and then rap came in and you know, all sorts of hip hop and everything else. But as people start traveling and being exposed to outside influences and that sort of thing, one's perception as to what things should be alters. And well, that seems pretty good. Why don't we plug that in here, and why don't we do this, that, and the other? And there are so that this is just a small part of the whole makeup of everything. And because we're becoming more experienced, more learned, more traveled, better read, you can go on. It's virtually an infinite list where certain aspects are drawn to create possibly a better society, if you will. But as the time is ticking on, things have become more difficult. They're not as easy as they used to be. Not saying that harder is worse or easy is better. It's just it's a lot more complicated, and especially in the technological era that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I am so teched out. I mean, I stress just trying to use this new computer I have. And so it's a very, very different world. And by being me-centric, we do have a serious problem.
I want to talk about this, but I got to take a commercial break. But I want to touch this when we get back.
Absolutely.
I want to touch this sort of an external exposure, the external influences that altered our reality, the reality of the community that we enjoy, that we love, the same community that so many persons continue to be able to talk about, the good old days.
The good old days. Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You were so right.
That's been shaved. That has been significantly eroded with the introduction of the glitz and glamour associated with democracy.
It's almost minutia at this point in time. And it's only brought up by individuals like you and then the older ones, the people that have the ability to talk about it to the masses.
Well, let me take this quick commercial break and let's get back and really kind of dive into that particular perspective.
Sure.
All right, guys, we're going to take this quick commercial break, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Brennan, your company. Tune in, man. We're going to have a great conversation. We'll be right back after this.
The Foundation.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I gotta buy snacks, too? Just lay it on
the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
Jump back in gear and save with BWF's End of Summer Explosion store-wide and tent sale. Up to 30% off. Monday, August the 28th through Saturday, September the 2nd. Save big on appliance combo specials. Ductless AC units, barbecue grills, household supplies, kitchen and outdoor cooking supplies, junk canoe and craft supplies, rechargeable and battery-operated fans, and so much more. Calling all teachers who are still preparing those classrooms. This sale is for you. Come and check us out for your bulletin board materials. BWF, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. BWF, we're more than just our name. Located number 13 Wilton Street. Call 394-0004-6. Check us out on Facebook. We also ship to the Family Islands.
Shavara Roka Enias, Chikchani Farms. I don't think I chose farming. I think farming chose me. Winning this award will definitely give us the funding that we need to start our farming season. Most persons who are in the agriculture field realize that at the start of the season, which is in the next couple of weeks, you do always need a bulk of cash. I think we have a great track record for the work that we've been doing in agriculture over the last 10 years. And so when I saw the opportunity for an award like this, I figured, you know what, I should just go ahead and enter.
The Agrarian Awards, September 16th.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday, hump day, Wednesday. You remember the commercial? I think it was Geico. Hump day, you know, what day is it? Someday. It's a beautiful day, guys, and I want to thank you so much for being able to tune into the conversation with us. I thank you. We started really off, started off the conversation at the top of the hour with none other than Nico Moscow. He called us last week, and I was really blown away by his contribution. You know, this is something that I often do. You know, if I give you a call, I want to be able to expand on certain concepts and whatnot. Then I often invite persons on the show to really be able to engage and have good conversations. So I'm grateful for him being able to call in. At the top of the hour, we talked about me-centricity. This kind of a selfish, inward perspective that, you know, it's all about me and being able to grab hold of things for yourself and how the environments differ from one generation to another. And it's truly being survival of the fittest as a result of our external influences. I wanted to talk to you about that, Nico, about the altered reality that we enjoy or that we travail. Let's use that. The altered reality that we exist in at this particular time. a lot of persons, I don't know whether or not it's a lack of reading, lack of exposure, lack of history, lack of anything, that they say that now is a better time, that this is a better society now, as opposed to the deprivation, the quote unquote, the perceived deprivation that we were in yesteryear, the sleeping fishing village that's been woken up with tech and independence. It's better now than it was then. What are your thoughts to that?
That's a very, an extremely, extremely broad question. It actually has me taking a step back. Mm-hmm. To actually say that one period of time was better than another. Now, I have to stick a pin there by saying that obviously times of war and disease and things like that, they're horrific in their own right.
Right.
But to say that one era is better than the other era, I don't really know how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. Because we have running water, we have electricity, we have technology, and everything is so fast-paced. Is that really better than the sleeping village? In some ways, if they didn't have running water or anything like that, possibly. It's an improvement. But actually saying it's better than the past, I'm not so sure that I can actually agree or disagree to that particular level. But certainly improvements have been made. Giant strides in medicine. Giant strides in technology. I mean, we can use these type of things that, yes, improve life. Certainly. But the question really is our time right now better than then? I can't say yes or no. I prefer going to the Outer Islands and live that simple life, you know, when I take a vacation or, you know, go to the Exumas or Eleuthera and or go fishing. It's perfect. But after a period of time, you start missing certain things that you're accustomed to. And so there's got to be a, you know, some sort of balance between the two. So I can't really, I don't think it would be accurate, or it's outside of my purview to say, yes, it is mm-hmm. better. But there are improvements at all stages of life, and that's how progression occurs.
Mm-hmm. You know,
but there are factors that are, it's way, way worse.
That's what I was about to say to you. I feel like I have a vantage point. I feel like, you know, the Outer Islands, the Family Islands, are years behind as relates to development, technology, and this
yes,
sort of a fast
agreed.
Pace that exists in the city of Nassau. So I have a vantage point. I have a little insight into the old day community. And when I move here to Nassau, like I said, the guerrilla warfare that exists even on the road itself, looking for an environment that slightly mirrors a quiet area that I'm from in Grand Bahama, West Grand Bahama, 8 Mile Rock. And going through all of that, I've recognized something, that we've bartered in our community. We've bartered our community and the serenity of our community for instant gratification, for the perceived idea of swift, fast-moving,
I agree with that. That's an accurate statement.
Yeah. And it's an unfortunate thing. And I think that a lot of persons are unable to articulate, because if you sit with the older guys, they say things like, boy, I remember the good old days. And then if you think about technology, what is this guy talking about? But if you think about peace and serenity, community, accessibility, approachability, all those things are far gone from our community. If you find it, it has become the exception, not necessarily the rule. And that is a really, really depressing point in our community. How do we now revive that and bring it back? Do you believe that politicians have the responsibility for being able to at least retain some slither of that sort of a paradise that we knew to be the Bahamas, and try to legislate it and bring it to the forefront?
Well, in terms of the specifics, excuse me, my animals are, to specifically politician. Mm-hmm. A politician is what he or she is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to pass on certain aspects of you know, the past and that sort of thing, then in that case, I think it's down to all of us. Now, while you were speaking, I did start thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
In our reformative education, if you will, it is what it is. But how we learn predominantly is by way of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's accurate or otherwise, but we learn by doing, seeing, and living something.
Mm-hmm.
And if our community isn't able to experience certain aspects of, say, the good old days, and what it was like, or read about it. But really, the true educational tool itself is the actual experience. How does one do that, especially in these very, very trying economic times? You know, how is it, you know, the common man, or the man on the Clapham bus, going to be able to afford a vacation in the, you know, these beautiful areas that are all built up, and, you know, the big movie stars and the elites and the super wealthy go. I mean, go down to, you know, go further south. It's a lot of money to get there. So the experience is limited. And then you were talking about coming from Grand Bahama,
mm-hmm.
and possibly finding that area of tranquility of the old days, mm-hmm. in Nassau.
Mm-hmm. I live way out west, near Coral Harbor area. Quiet.
Okay. Well, I was just about to say, drive straight down the street and go to the old Adelaide Village.
That's where I got
to
go.
That's where I go when I'm stressed and everything else.
But the only
used to go back and go fishing on the flats with my son at the time. We'd go for bonefish and just walk around, and I'd show him. But right now, for me to do, that's the only place that you can really go and see something that is quasi-old days.
You know, it was wild to me. Well, like I said, I couldn't live in Adelaide. It was way too much sandfly and mosquitoes. I couldn't tough it. But what's wild to me is that just a few miles away from the serenity of what exists in Adelaide is turmoil.
Absolutely.
That is crazy to me. And we collectively as a people are all from this same space. How? What has happened to us? What has happened to us? And now I will get to the meat of the conversation. What has happened to us in our minds, in our thinking, in our approach, in this sort of dismissive idea of what community could be? What influences, we talked about this sort of the external influences, what influences creeped into our community that caused right-thinking behemoths? Someone said the other day, organic, which I think is a wild thing.
Yeah, I just heard that the other day. Yes. I didn't really understand it.
Well, what is an organic? Anyway, right? Right. So what has crept into our thinking and morphed our convictions and position that we now throw our hands up when it comes to community? Is it as a result of the illegal immigrant and the this idea that the government of the Bahamas does not protect the sovereignty of our land? And if they don't care, then we don't care. Is it the steady perception and evidence of corruption in our leadership that if they don't care, then I don't care? Is it the idea that education isn't sustainable and that tertiary education is out of the reach for so many persons? And if I can't reach it, then I don't care. What causes people at this juncture to not care?
Well, that's a very, very expansive question. Living day to day at this point in time, everyone can relate to the difficulties that we're faced with. We've come out of and I'm just talking in recent years, mm-hmm. and it's even beforehand, mm-hmm. but in recent years, we've seen something that the world hasn't seen in two aspects. You've got the Hurricane Dorian that decimated our brothers and sisters in Grand Bahama and Abaco. And then right off the back, we had this, you know, this terrible situation of the pandemic that's altered us. Either one recognizes or not, it's altered us in a very serious manner. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, there's all these kick-ons that have occurred as a result of it. The expense. Mm-hmm. The migration. Now, I'm gonna say this from the top. I'd like everyone to understand. Migration is something that I've understood has been in the human DNA structure from the dawn of time.
Okay.
And the migration of the individual was and is for the purpose of a number of things, but the primary purpose is survival.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and please interject if I'm going astray, but I don't think I am.
No.
And what has happened in the case of Dorian was that we had an influx of many, many people that came to the island that are still here. We're on a 21-by-7 island with a vast number of people. And I'm just saying, I'm just saying for this period of time in society that we can relate to. Mm-hmm. And I think that the spinoff of this will be able to be understood. The more bodies that you put in a small area, now we're not including the migration, the illegal migration. We're talking about our own migration in order to survive. You had to come here because there's nothing in Abaco. I mean, it's being built up, so I can't say there's nothing there. But at the time, and a lot of people have stayed. Now, we're stressing our environment here. We have an overabundance of vehicles. Our medical system is strained. And, people are stressed almost to the limit, the everyday school fees, electricity bills, you name it. Everything is through the roof, if you will, mm-hmm. financially. So that's adding to the stress. And then there's other stresses that you go through every single solitary day on your own. Now, when you get into the illegal migration situation, this has been a very sore subject within the country. And it has to be understood that there isn't a single individual in this country that did not migrate here.
Okay.
Okay, that has to be understood.
I like this.
Okay. So imposing one's will is relates to that. You have to remember that none of us came here.
We didn't pop out of the ground.
The organic argument.
Yeah, we didn't pop out of the ground. Yeah.
There is one person that has been identified as a descendant of the Arawak tribe, and that person, I believe, lives in Long Island, but they don't, it's not widely spoke about, but they have discovered an individual that is a direct descendant.
With the gene?
Yes, they did this a number of years ago, and I don't have the information from me, so I don't want to give inaccurate or false information. But my family came from Greece
mm-hmm.
In the 1930s,
mm-hmm.
Or the late 30s and 40s. And other people have come from everywhere. But we are Bahamians by virtue of birth and by naturalization or otherwise. So we have a leg up on the quote-unquote illegal migrants. So at the end of the day, we have that problem, and then we have a substantive illegal migrant problem.
Now,
way back when, there was a gentleman, I believe it's Loftus Roker, that literally he he halted any sort of migrants feared coming to the Bahamas for whatever reason. I wasn't around in the sense to understand it. It's just stories that I've heard.
Nico, I'd have to take you to put a pin right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to pick up right there where you started off with Loftus Roker, because he has been an advocate for being able to identify those who are naturally and legally supposed to be in this land. Now, I want to talk about that. Let me take this commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, the Foundation, having a great conversation, getting into some some immigration matters. Stick and stay. We're going to be right back after this.
The Foundation.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back to school prizes. Call 352-6676.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company on a Wednesday hump day. So happy to be with you. It is the Foundation, and we're chopping it down the way we do here. I'm grateful to be in your company. If you want to be able to give me a call, please do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796 on the text. Now, my guest, he's not here in the studio with us. He's calling in, and I'm grateful to have him here with us. If you missed the top of the hour, we talked about a shifting society that has shifted from the external into the internal. the idea that community started within me and should be, you know, projected or carried out. But the idea now that shifting is instant gratification, all for me, baby, and that continues to be able to perpetuate, it is steeped into almost every sector and subsector of our society. Nobody really wants to talk about it. They don't put their finger on it. You listen to the news just now. Dismal results. That's how they started off. Dismal results as it relates to the BGCSE, with less than 5.6% of the students who took the BGCSE results or the exam getting C's and above. That is absolutely bananas. Don't watch me. If 5.6% is 300 and some, then that means 6,000 people took this exam. We're not having this conversation. Do you think that all these kids are failures? I don't think so. But they have no hope, no idea for community, and there is nothing for them to grab hold to. There's no encouragement to say, oh, you can get a job to the hotel. You got to stop this. They're seeing everything on their computers, everything on their devices, every single day that shows a bustling world. And we're supposed to continue to tell them that this world is a community. I'm speaking with none other than Nico Mosco. Nico, when we left off, you started to talk to us about illegal immigration. You started to talk to us about the boiling tribulation that exists internally, whether it's our cars, gas, medical system, the strained medical system, our bills, food, inflation. And then you started to talk about immigration and how none of us are quote unquote organic. We didn't pop out of the ground. We were brought here either by will or by gun. I mean, just shoot straight. We were brought here. Yeah, talk to me about it.
Well, just getting back, we traversed from the migration due to Hurricane Dorian and the congestion
right.
Of that. And a number of people have stayed with their cars, families, stressing our environment.
Right.
Now, we're talking about the illegal migration, which I'm not a proponent of in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Way back when the first minister, if you will, of immigration, he addressed, illegal migration, you know, with an iron fist at the time. And mm-hmm. I'm saying that the subsequent ministers aren't or not trying. However, the means and ways to get here are easier, and they're facilitated by the unscrupulous. Now, the amount of individuals that are or were in the shanty towns it's unknown, and that is a big question. Who was there? Because you can't really document something that you don't know, and you don't have the facility.
The former administration under Dion Folks did so, and they put the number 1,200 and some in the papers. If you remember.
Anyway, I'm not there to criticize or otherwise.
Okay, go ahead.
But if you ask people that live there, you know, it's more than 40-fold,
mm-hmm.
which is quite frightening. Now, the problem that one has to look at, if you follow the rules and migrate within the confines of our rules, there's not a problem. And they're strictly reviewed by the Department of Immigration, possibly National Security, who knows? But the problem being is that the facilitation of the unscrupulous allows for this vast migration. And then when you have the illegal immigrants there, they have family members, and then and it expands. Now, why things were back then so guarded was that I believe there may have been a perception of the minimal amount of our land here in Nassau and other smaller out islands that could be taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a foreshadowing or foreseeing what the future could be. We are living in a situation here that is unsustainable, downright shocking. And at the same time, it's creating a number of other social ills. Now, for all intents and purposes, the unscrupulous is it's a vast array. And the individuals that are migrating for, you know, for survival, if you will,
mm-hmm.
are being used, quote unquote. And we see this on a daily basis. But at the same time, they're also prospering. And at the same time, there could be a great reward by becoming a citizen of the country. How you do it, if you do it legally or, you know, other means, who knows? I mean, not accusing or anything, but you just hear the fodder on the outside. And, you know, where there's smoke, generally there's fire, but not every time. You know, something could be just consuming itself and smoking.
I want to ask you this question before you go forward, because you said something. You indicated that, well, I want to say this. Loftus Roker, because you mentioned it before we went off to the break.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that because I've had him on the show, and he's a friend of the show, and I always enjoy sitting with him.
Right.
Do you believe that his zealous policing and safeguarding of the Constitution and the sovereignty of the Bahamas has spilt over that zealous policing that was devoid of empathy, that didn't have any necessary empathy? It only understood the law in black and white, the logos of the law. It only understood this is what a law said. So it was devoid of empathy, devoid of the fact that you were looking for survival, devoid of the fact that there was tribulation in your community. It was only about safeguarding the Bahamas. Do you believe that that sort of a zealous policing spilt over into the community? And now the majority of us grab hold of that same zealous policing and expect it to return?
That type of policing is required at this day and age.
Okay.
However, and it has to be stressed, however, it has to be done with empathy, with compassion, and with all the rules and regulations of one's basic human rights.
Things change, though, Nico. Things change because I remember back in the day, Grammy and so many persons, older persons in the community, would have this level of pride. I don't know whether it was this colonial mindset that spilt into their minds that says, you have ownership over another human being, right? Subconsciously, I believe that they were eager to say things like, well, that's my Haitian. Well, that's my Haitian.
I don't know. Right? And I don't think that's an area that should be tread. I certainly don't have that view. I certainly hope that everyone doesn't have that view.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's absolutely,
But it goes back to what you were saying. You were talking about the idea that though they were looking for survival, there is an opportunity for them to have a good life here.
Yeah, but that is not what there's a difference here that we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And the use of that's my property? No, mm-hmm. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not calling you insane, but mm-hmm. that it's making me sick just thinking about the idea.
Right.
But the unscrupulous, you have to understand, are those are the individuals that are circumventing the rules and regulations of our society in order to make a quick buck at the cost of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're working, possibly working for peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard stories that people have taken passports from individuals and basically been, you know, these people don't have, you know, it's quite shocking. I mean, you'd have to talk to individuals that are within the actual department to tell you about stories that are out there. I can't speak of experience, and I don't want to speak of experience, you know, to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that the unscrupulous are are bringing these individuals in, and then these individuals are also, not every apple in the barrel is a good apple. And so there's other things going on, and we discussed this on the telephone a couple of two days ago, yeah. Is that we have a societal, we have that, and also it is a cultural difference that we're facing as well. That is being blended into something that we're not used, you know, that's being blended into our culture as well. No, not saying that each one of our Bahamian brothers and sisters we profess to be as good as you can be, but then there's always, you know, a bad apple that's out there. But also we have cultural issues that are being have to deal with. At this point in time, we have too many people in a small area of land that is creating not only, it's creating stresses right across the board. And then if the unscrupulous are not addressed, now wherever they may be, and then brought to the forefront so people see that you're going to get caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's not in the forefront of one's mind, or the public's mind, well, it appears that the perception is nothing's being done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't see that nothing is being done. You see about the repatriations and everything else. But it's those individuals that have these people working illegally. You hear about, you know, the big cases, like, for example, the quote-unquote misunderstanding at the British colonial. You hear about things like that, but you don't hear about the farmer. You don't hear about the common man that is breaking the law and being brought before the courts and tried and fined or whatever the case may be. So if it goes unanswered, or it's perceived to be unanswered or unaddressed, let's say, then the perception is going to be what? Nothing's being done. So what has to change is not only is it being done, it has to be seen to be done. And that is the biggest problem that we're faced with here. The people are asking for answers, and we're not getting information. Okay, we had a criminal matter due to, say, an oil spill or something like that. No, that people are asking for the accounting of what was fined, but it's okay. You know, we're not. It was a private matter, but when it's a private matter, that's very different with a public situation. Now, there has to be some sort of, at the end of the day, there has to be a degree of transparency, a fairly large degree of transparency, so the people are not so angry all the time and fed up because we're not being told what's happening. And this is a major discussion, and the people are going to have to say, listen, we want this. We're not asking you for it. We want it.
I want to turn the curb.
Mm-hmm.
I want to turn the curb with you. We put a lot of things on the table as it relates to the community where we came from, the traditions that existed, the strength of the community, the dissipation or, you know, dismantling of that sort of a conviction that existed in those particular spaces, and accepting this sort of instant gratification in its stead. Then you started to talk about illegal migration and a sense of overpopulation.
Yes.
And the need for policing immigration. I wanted to ask you about solutions at this juncture. You have for almost three decades been studying. You have lived here all your life. You grew in this community. I know that there is an ideal about how we reform, transform, and revive not necessarily the community of old, but at least the camaraderie that we have here. Give me some solutions.
Well, I had a feeling that question was going to come, and I don't know if I have an answer for it. You know, in the days gone by, you'd have, neighbors, really being neighbors, street mm-hmm. Street get-togethers. You take, things like that. I really don't know how to put something forward in terms of trying to reform this, because there's so many variables, as I indicated. It's a magnitude of them, mm-hmm. and then there's the home life. There's how you're brought up, and it's all you're hardwired differently now, and how. How do you address that? I mean, this has to go in before, individuals that are psychologists and sociologists and anthropologists, you name it. But people are hardwired differently. I can't say we're all the same from way back. I don't think that would be accurate. But the society then, how you grow up in the society and how the society is constructed in the time that you're in your formative years and continuing on, it's a very complex issue. But I think for, simple things of national unity are when, for our sports, believe it or not, is that's one of the only times you really see everyone, rooting on, our own. And then you have, the festive times of Junkanoo and things like that. But at the same time, that digresses into, war between the parties. Mm-hmm. The society is just so, it's a stressed environment that, results in so many aspects that are negative in their own right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are positives. And then hopefully at some point, where one starts to release the pressure, if you will, if it's a, mm-hmm. A canister that's ready to explode, and you release that pressure by the simple things in life, answers, or the seeing things being done, rather than having to question. And then, you started off about the newspaper this morning. I dread reading it today. I haven't seen them this morning about the abduction. I mean, this is what we're seeing all the time. And I'm not asking to look through, tinted rose-colored glasses or anything like that and forget about all the horrors that are going on. Absolutely not. But we're going to have to start small in certain areas. And where we know that there is a type of cancer being that is, it's mastitizing, mm-hmm. we all know what it is and where it is. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be addressed.
I like what you said. You know what I like to?
Go ahead. We spoke about this. We can talk all day. We can all talk all day, all day, all day, all day. And we like hearing ourselves speak. However, talk is cheap. Let's get it done.
I like what you said. I like what you kind of you gave me this visual in my head when you started to talk about the release of pressure, of social pressures, with simplicity. I think those in leadership, let's not just identify leadership. Let's not just identify politics. Those in leadership, whether deliberate or by way of training, continues to incorporate complexity to the conversation. They try to be able to put so much red tape to what needs to be alleviated and how it needs to be shoveled and tunneled to this.
Fair enough.
It's just too much.
Yeah, it is quite a bit.
The simplicity of transparency, the simplicity of honesty, the simplicity of consistency, the simplicity of application.
And the simplicity of accountability.
And accountability. These are the things that can change our society.
It's a start. I'm not saying it's a magic bullet or a silver bullet, whatever the term is. Mm-hmm. But it's a start. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's literally planting a seed and watching that seed grow. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it has to start somewhere. And the general public, we're all tired. We're tired of being told, you know, something that what it really isn't. We're being told the sky is pink when in fact it's blue. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's another problem. And so at the end of the day, it's really the smaller things are starting, but at the same time, as I said, the bigger problems are where the cancer is mastitizing. Has to be addressed.
I want to read a couple of texts, guys. You can send your text 422-4796. 422-4796. I got a couple of texts also here on 8270111. I'm going to go fight you. It says that's history. That's the history of migration. However, we have an immigration policy now, and it's being abused. We also have economically deprived persons migrating here and causing our people to be overwhelmed and overburdened and losing access to social services that
absolutely. We discussed this.
Yes.
Now, this is actually a very, very good text in parts. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad the texter did, in fact, send this. These are all, we can't name all the problems, so I apologize, but we have to keep it as simple for the understanding of everyone listening. Now, I'm no expert or anything like that, and I'm not going to profess to be. I'm just using common sense and experience mm-hmm. and education that my parents I was able to have. The mm-hmm. individual intimated policy, immigration policy. Is that correct?
Yes.
I ask you to ask immigration to give you and give the Bahamian people the policy that they, in fact, operate under. Mm. I ask this for a simpler reason. This has been asked for many, many years. Now, if the policy is published, please let me know, because I don't know where it is, and okay, maybe I've overlooked it. But out of my experience, the policy is moving goalposts, and is never clear.
From one administration to another.
It doesn't matter what administration.
Wow.
It's something that's inherited. Now, I've sat on a number of committees and things like this, and we've been trying to sort things out in terms of, skeletal reframing of the act and everything else. Only some things have come out of it. Now, it's whether or not I don't know, if it's the cost of getting it done, who knows? I mean, I don't live in the cabinet room within each administration. But the reason I'm saying this gentleman's or this female's text is so important is because they use the word policy. Mm-hmm. What people have to understand is acts, the legislation that lives within the Commonwealth or any society is the law itself. Now, policies are implemented to assist. On the basic grounds, it's to assist in bringing out following the rules themselves. Mm-hmm. But the question becomes, is policy law? Mm-hmm. What is your initial reaction to that?
Well,
it's not.
Let me finish reading this here. So she just texted me, Howard, read the rest. Okay, no problem. So it says, we also have economically deprived persons migrating here and causing our people to be overwhelmed and overburdened and losing access to social services
yes.
that we, the indigenous organic Bahamians, are entitled to. We need to fix our immigration, migration situation before we are no
agreed.
More.
Agreed. This yeah. is the problem of migration.
Yeah.
This was discussed earlier, both because, you know, example Dorian, and also the illegal migration. We are taxed to the hilt.
Yeah.
And we're suffering for it. So, and also each department has a limited budget. We understand this. But everyone knows the island. You can't go too far on a 21-by-7 island or a little island. They know where everything is.
Yeah. I want to be there.
And why aren't you grabbing the people? Because of what? The fallout for votes.
And okay? That is absolutely what it is. I want it to be decent today. And
I agree with you.
I don't want spin.
You know, we're getting pushed into a direction that I really don't want to go.
I know. So I don't want to spin into that. I just want to be able to deal with the issues on the table. And this is the next text that came through. Let me read this, and then we're going to go to a break after you talk about it. It says, I need someone to explain to me how someone can be here on a work permit as a living maid but sell fruits out of a shopping cart all day, every day.
Well, it's simple. If you know that that is occurring, you make a complaint. You call the requisite department and say, why is this person who is... A work permit is only for one person and one specific job. That's it. No more, no less. And if you turn a blind eye to these particular unscrupulous events, shame on you.
I want to talk about that.
We're going to complain and complain and complain and complain.
I want to talk about that when we get back. I got to take this commercial break. But when I get back, I'd like to ask you about whether or not you believe, based upon your years of experience, that technology can give us the level of transparency that we look forward to in our society. That if we register persons, if there is an accessible registry, I'm not talking about in offices, I'm talking about on our telephones, that we can identify persons who are, you know, work permit carriers. If they're outside of their profession, what they're coming here to do, do you think that that can work, that technology of people policing people in the community?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, we don't even have to discuss it. We don't have the purview to do that. If you see a degree of illegal activity, it's upon you to do something about it. And if you don't do it, but in terms of policing, you know, your neighbor and things like that, there are other rules that can be violated. The police and the Department of Immigration and all these other organizations are pleading for public assistance. They can't do everything themselves. Mm. And unless you speak up, they can't do their job to the fullest capacity. But there's also issues that they have internally. So we don't need to go into that.
Okay.
Well, policing, each of us policing each other to make a 1984 state? Absolutely not.
Wow. Let's talk about this. We're going to be able to take a quick commercial break and be right back. I see the phone lines are lit right up. We're going to take these telephone calls when we get right back after this.
Okay.
The foundation.
Calling all junior and senior high school students. You could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Believe in education. Elevate your learning journey with the technology you need to succeed. Discover exclusive deals on our postpaid plans, featuring devices, tablets, accessories, and more. With Alive as your partner, experience seamless connectivity, creation, and collaboration anywhere, anytime. Visit your nearest Alive store today and champion a brighter, smarter future. Alive. Believe in Bahamians. Believe in best.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Grab your camera, capture the spirit of the Bahamas, and win cash and prizes. Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, invites all youth, amateur, and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 photography competition, being held under the theme One Nation, One Legacy, Our Future. With more than $8,000 in cash to be won, snap those photos and send them in by August 30th. Visit guardiantalkradio.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos. Terms and conditions apply.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, the foundation on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, live and in full effect, live and in living color, chopping down this great conversation about immigration and our position and responsibility to ensure that we can all move forward, upward, onward together. I'm speaking with none other than Nico Mosco, and he's giving us a good understanding of our responsibility for being able to move forward. Let me see if I can be able to, is that a telephone call? Did I miss that? 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Go ahead, Nico.
Hey, Howard. I just got a phone call on another line, and I'm laughing about it because it is pretty funny. They said, well, you know, the show's going great points, and you forgot to mention an alleviation of the pressure. That's how he spoke to me, or she spoke to me. She goes, when I call government departments, and no one answers, or I get transferred, and the phone disconnects, and I keep calling back all day, my blood pressure is go up. Now, I think that is absolutely hysterical by analogy, but it's a real-life situation.
No, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing.
Yeah. It said, yeah. Man, what pressure, you know, and it was funny. She was saying, what pressure in a can? My blood pressure is pressure.
Wow.
I burst out laughing. I thought it was funny.
Wow. But this
so
is what we end up...
So, you know, these simple things. Answer the phone. Put us on to a live person.
But our society, man, I mean, I want to talk like this. Our society has come to accept that this way that we've accepted, this tradition...
It's not acceptable.
This morphing of the culture of who we are has become acceptable. They say it is what it is, and that's how they see it.
It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
That's how
that has to change.
There is
this
an
is
idea.
What we're discussing. This has to change. These are the small things.
There is an idea now, Nico, that exists that people grapple with what really is corruption. They want to know what really is corruption. That if you're getting paid as whether you're a custom officer, an immigration officer, a road traffic officer, whoever you are, and someone offers you a few bucks as lunch money to be able to expedite something for them, is that corruption really? And then they give you the immediate contrast to what the stories that they've heard or what they've seen from leadership in their areas. And then they ask themselves, well, if they can do it, then why can't I? If they're not going to be prosecuted for it, why would you prosecute me? This imbalance that exists socially is leading to the turmoil that we see spilling out in society.
There are so many aspects of the discussion. I think the answer to the question, we already addressed it. But there are so many avenues that have been created by these things, and I use masterization because once that happens, there's no turning back in most cases.
Wow. I agree
and
with you.
That is the problem. And so these little things that we're discussing, eventually each branch, eventually each component, eventually each the structure will, unfortunately, if things don't change, and you start off by the little things and address the really big things that can be done, right? Mastodization is a real and present danger.
I'd like to talk about it. The lines are lit up. Let me see if I can get one or two of these telephone calls. Guys, you know the numbers. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Howard, and good afternoon to you again.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think we do ourselves a disservice, or a half service, if you will, when we speak in these issues of corruption and solely look at them from a public sector perspective. I say that for two reasons. One, if you tried to reach any behemoth company and tried to get to talk to somebody, you get put on hold, you get transferred, get disconnected. And now that's happening across the board now. I can give you multiple examples, but mm-hmm. I think anybody who's dealt with behemoth, and just go on, if you go on social media and you start to see about the issues of poor service and customer service, they're just as much in the private sector as they are in the public.
You walk in the shop, they put you on hold.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if it came across that it's solely applied to the public sector, then I and we apologize for that. But that's the discussion today is it applies right across the board.
Right,
and I use the word we throughout. And it's not a justification of a mistake or otherwise. So if it came across in a sense that it was specifically targeted to someone else, mm-hmm. I was using the call that I got mm-hmm. as a lightning aspect of it, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But the point came across. So I do apologize for it coming across in a light that it's only directed at the public sector, that it wasn't
intentional. I think it was just the clarity of you. The other thing is, and I will say this to you, mm-hmm. the example, Howard, that you have given about you go to the customs office, you go here, you go there, you go to this office, and you give them, quote-unquote, lunch money. Let me be honest with you. As somebody who's worked in the public sector for well over two decades, all right? The issue of how that happened is more due to the fact that big business in this country has conditioned our public service.
Let's hear what you say.
Absolutely. Okay? I mean,
because it is the big businesses who say to them, look, I need my stuff now so I can give you this and handle my big shipment. And so the problem is they've gotten so used getting fed by the big boys.
That's crazy what you say.
That then the individual behemoth comes. They go, well, the big boy paying, you got to pay.
Mm-hmm. My God.
And that is the issue we have to deal with. We have to deal with the fact that by and large, in the Bahamas, corporate Bahamas feels like anytime they deal with the government, it is their that they don't want to wait, that they don't want to take the opportunity to be to keep people accountable. And so they blur the lines. And once the lines are blurred by the giants, us midgets,
May I interject? And I thank you for your point.
Thank you so much.
Well received. But just like anything else during this discussion, there are so many variables that you can't possibly talk about them in 1-2 hour show, mm-hmm. or even a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to identify these things. But at the same time, as you well know, that we're going to limit it to... No, I'm not going to limit it to either case. When it happens in the public or the private sector, right? If these bigger companies that you've thrown out there, they need things right away. And for their, be it perishables, be it whatever the case may be, right? They don't have time. So they're forced to do it because of the... Not saying it's right now. But because of the service that they're getting, they know what they're going to get. So at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of variables that have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And it's not one person's fault. It's everybody's fault.
Let me take the next telephone call before we get out of here. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Grant. Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon.
Your guest is a professional. Nico, you're a professional, my brother.
Yes.
All of the things you are hinting on, they are listed as part of the pros and cons of illegal migration, cultural shifts, economic burdens on the government, right? But Howard, firstly, decades of inactions and lack of cohesive protocol by the police, immigration, border patrol, et cetera, right?
Absolutely.
To the exacerbation of this problem. And so it's very inglorious for me when you have no one in government, different from Lopez Roker, Brandon McCartney, I think Minister did mention it, but no one is really relentless and have this real zeal to control this immigration crisis, right? Which is the Clinton presidency, which is a national security issue. Mm-hmm. And then, as a Bahamian citizen, I'm appalled at the audacity of the demographics of migrants with the Haitian Bahamians. So here's why. For some time now, we've been hearing this BS of a narrative that there's more of us than them, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which should be a concern to every Bahamian. Mm-hmm. Now, the more of us than them narrative is disturbing for me because in the 60s, I grew up with all my Haitian Bahamian friends. We were one. We were peaceful. We was always normal. They still come and heal me, even if they come from New York, okay? So this us against them. It paints a picture that they see themselves as not being us.
Mm.
So then the geniuses that run the country should be asking themselves, where did this psyche come from, Mr. Grant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good question, and Howard and I discussed this briefly the other day.
Up on me.
What'd you say?
No, I wanted Nico to talk, but I didn't want to produce it hang up because
No, absolutely. I didn't think he was going to hang up.
Go ahead, Nico.
Your interjection is well noted and well respected right across the board.
Yours and also.
I'm sorry?
Yours also.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that we have to ask, and the whole design of this conversation today, was for people to start listening and understanding. Okay, specific points, we kept away from specific points for a reason. We know what they are. And when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, I'm not here to point fingers at anybody, mm-hmm. and I will not do that. You can ask Howard. Mm-hmm. We are here to have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have done is absolutely, you know, what you have said is spot on.
Mm-hmm. The producer there.
Spot on. We've said, if there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is the will to address this, and these are the big some of the big problems that are masticizing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for what you're saying, and bold enough to come out and say it. And the design of our discussion today was just to promote fruitful thought,
mm-hmm.
and then expand on it later on.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point. So that's the whole genus of what we are trying to do. And your reaction or your statement is it's fruitful, absolutely fruitful from the discussion that we're having. And this is what we need as people to do. Bring it to the forefront.
Let me see if I can get one or two of these calls. I got about a few minutes before we get out of here. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, Howard.
Yeah, that's 52. You call back. Okay, go ahead.
What I wanted to touch on, as far as us against them, right? This should be disturbing for everyone because what it suggests is they see us as different from us. Now, the reason why I said it is because I don't think every Haitian being in Borneo would go against us.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're saying this should be disturbing. And the fact that the migrants are allowed to get away with things that we're not allowed to get away with.
Mm.
Your guest said it right. This is all for votes. Now, with the implementation of artificial intelligence, which I really am against, but I'm for it for us exposing corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this commercial on your station saying whistleblowers, this and that. But yet the lady at immigration was put in problems for being a whistleblower. So how could then we then receive the truth?
Mm.
So if this is not a national security issue, what is it?
Mm.
The us against them narrative is disturbing for my people. You understand me? Given the fact that we know that these people are, we see what they're doing to one another over there. So what you think they have on about us? Why isn't he exploitation? Why is it that we should be making these type of statements, Howard? Why is it that we can allow a handful of migrants to come into our country, run a BS narrative, and try to frighten the humans with those type of statements, and nothing happened to him with no repercussions, Howard?
Wow.
A coward. Give thanks.
I always appreciate your telephone call.
That's above my pay grade.
I know. Let me take the next telephone call before we get out of here. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon. Very thought-provoking discussion.
Thank you.
My take on it is this, right? If you look at what's going on in Europe, specifically between Britain and France, with this trans-channel crossing of these migrants, okay, I see there was an agreement between France, the president of France, and the prime minister, the government of Britain. The government of Britain gave them several billion dollars to keep the channel clear of immigrants. Well, the French are still sending the people over from Calais into southern Britain, into southern Great Britain. And I see a bigger plan. Yeah, I see a bigger plot afoot. I'm looking at this diasporically. What my interpretation of it is from watching the migration stuff going on, illegal migration going on in Europe, and illegal migration going on in the Bahamas, is I point to the UN and the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. These people have listed in their charters, and the UN has been publishing it, I think, from the 1980s when I was in
college. Yeah, you're right about that. Yes.
They've been publishing this thing with Agenda 2020, Agenda 2018, and all of that. And their agenda essentially is to eliminate borders, is to eliminate flags, to eliminate nationality. They want a one-world government.
One world government.
The one world order is.
See, our government is complicit in it. When you see people like Kamala Harris and Maxine Waters slipping in here, and there's no, as far as I know, and no government statements indicating what the meeting was all about. Every country, whenever there's a state-to-state meeting, there's always some kind
you
of...
You call me at the last 2 seconds because we know what the meeting was about. The meeting, this exact same meeting happened in Africa. And they tell him, hell no. We know what the meeting was about.
Yes. This is what is happening. So Bahamians need to be aware. This is an international agenda, and we are a small part of it. We are being impacted greatly because our culture is at stake. But we have to look at diasporically. This is happening, and there's an agenda.
Telephone call. I appreciate it, man. I got to get you,
yeah,
let you go.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your telephone call. Listen, man, Nico, you have been amazing today. I want to thank you so very kindly.
Thank you,
now,
you gotta come back for the kind words and the biased approach, but I'll take it.
No. You got to come back, man. You got to come back.
Anytime.
Because,
you know, call me anytime, and I thank everybody for listening. And at no time was anything meant to point at anybody or single out anybody or anything like that. This was just a discussion in a general manner, and apply it as you will. And please call in and support Howard and his show. And I thank you all very, very much.
Nico, I love your disclaimer. I thank you, my brother.
My disclaimer is true.
It's the truth.
I'm not being a lawyer, Matt.
It's the truth. I do appreciate your telephone call.
One lawyerism in there today.
Not one.
Well, policy maybe.
Maybe a little taste, right?
Thank you so kindly, my brother. Have a great day, and thank you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen.
Give me a call when you're done.
I'll do that. All right. Definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm probably cut him too quick. Ladies and gentlemen, Nico Mosco was giving us some good information about where we are from. And I wanted to get into that because I don't think we could have illegal migration or immigration conversation without being able to have the social contrast to understand how it morphed and how it ballooned to the position. So I'm grateful to Nico for being able to have that conversation with us. I'm grateful to all of you guys for kind of tuning in. Tomorrow we will be at Harbor Bay. Is it the Harbor Bay? Right? Harbor Bay Plaza with the Snackathon. It's going to be a back-to-school snackathon. We want you guys to be able to participate. We're doing these things amazingly. It's going to be with we're in partnership with AML, Hot Star, Hands for Hunger, Bahamas Feeding Network, Fresh Market. We're doing big things, and we want you guys to be able to participate. We're going to make some things happen. I want to see you there tomorrow. All of us are going to be out there tomorrow being able to chop these things down. And we thank you. Thank you for your participation. And I want to be able to thank Vivian. Let me read your name first because he sent something for the baby. Vivian Dean. I'm going to call you Vivian Green. That's an artist I used to listen to years ago. Vivian Dean. And also I got a gift for the 9-year-old baby girl. She's out of hospital. I know you guys want to hear more about where she is. I'm continuing to be in contact with the mother, doing a great thing, continue to be able to work with her. I've made a pledge and a commitment to be able to do something on a month-to-month basis beyond what we've done initially, just to see her get on her foot until the end of the year so we can be able to do that. So if you want to partner with me in that, hey, let's make this thing happen. Guys, thank you so very kindly. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant, the foundation on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We're going to see you tomorrow right here, live and in full effect. Well, not here, but we're going to be on the radio tomorrow being able to chomp these things down. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your engagement, and we look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. Have a good day, guys.
Foundation. The Foundation of Howard Grant is brought to you by Alive AML Foods Limited, Bahamas Welding and Fire, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Freeport News, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Popeyes, Bronze Electric Motors, and Scotiabank. Foundation.